Would you offer our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 13, the first 9 verses? I invite you to stand. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture text for the sermon from Matthew chapter 13. I'll begin reading in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing and to change us, to shape us. May we truly hear your word and so prove to be your disciples, not for the glory of our name, but for the glory of your name. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and amen. You may be seated. Well, we come to a familiar passage, one that has prompted a number of paintings. This passage has produced a number of stories, and from this passage, many lessons have come forth. Jesus leaves the house, and he goes by the sea. He sits down, and before too long, many others join him. This becomes an ever-growing gathering on the beach. The crowd expands, and Jesus stands. He then gets into a boat. He then sits down, and the crowd is still standing on the shore. Jesus begins to speak. He spoke many things to them in parables. While on the water, Jesus speaks of the ground. He is in a boat on the sea, and he tells of a sower and some seeds. This has been called the parable of the soils, but in verse 18, Jesus calls it the parable of the sower. Matthew 13. This parable is the first of 7 parables of the kingdom. Matter of fact, there's even an 8th parable-like comment after the 7. The first parable here is a familiar parable, perhaps the most familiar of all of Jesus' parables. Maybe we've become dulled to it as well, thinking that we know what Jesus is going to say. After all, we have heard it so many times. What about those standing by? Perhaps some of those standing on the shoreline must have thought that this story is an It's nothing new. This is an old story. It's likely that they've all seen farmers. They have seen plants. They have experience with soils and birds and crops. Someone could have said, "We know about this." Some of those standing there might have considered that, yes, this is an old story. And they might have begun to consider, wait a minute, this is that teacher, that rabbi. Maybe they started connecting some of the dots, some of the old dots of this old story. Again, thinking they knew what this was all about. Maybe these people concluded that, yes, I know what's going on. God has sent messengers. God has sent His word through angels, through priests and the ministrations of priests. He has sent kings, and the kingdom has expanded. He has even sent prophets at various times and in various ways. These people might have thought, yes, we're connecting the dots. The message was sent, and the message was often not received. We know this story. That's an old story. There might have been some others on that shoreline who thought that it was rather an odd story. Not just an old story, but maybe they thought this is an odd story. What farmer throws away 2/3 of his seed? This is odd. Surely some initial soil testing or soil preparation would have been wise. What a waste. Not an odd story, not an old story, but an odd story. Well, the parable of the sower is before us, so let us lean in. Jesus does more than call this, label this, or refer to this as the parable of the sower. Jesus actually says this, "Hear the parable of the sower. Hear. Hear." Now that also sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? We just heard it. Jesus spoke the parable. He told this story, this account of a farmer scattering seeds. We were there. We heard. Didn't we? Words were uttered. Hearing happened. Didn't it? But Jesus says, "Hear the parable of the sower." Maybe he means the details. Yes, we heard the details as well. There was someone scattering seeds upon the various soils. Soils which were either hard-packed, strewn with stones, filled with weeds, or plant-ready. We just heard this. We heard the details. But Jesus says, "Hear the parable of the sower." Someone could say, wait a minute, we heard the events and we know that these events, in order to tell a story, the events were telescoped. The time has been removed or tightened up so much so that seed is being cast and then we know the effect right away. We're not told how long. We know the story is being telescoped. Some seed lands and are snatched away at some point in time. Some seed lands in some shallow, rocky stuff, and it springs up. We don't know quite when. And there's other seed that went into some apparently good soil, and it was looking good, but then there were some other things popping up with them. We know it's been telescoped. But Jesus says, "Hear the parable of the sower." Perhaps we need to pause. Those standing on the sand and those of us in our seats are supposed to wonder if we are missing something. It was right after Jesus finished telling this first parable when he just presented the parable. He didn't explain it. He presented the parable, and that's when Jesus said this, the one who has ears to hear, make sure that person hears. Ears? Hearing? When Jesus, in our passage, begins to explain the parable of the sower, that's when he says, hear the parable of the sower. And in between this, when Jesus finished the parable, and when Jesus begins explaining the parable, Jesus is also speaking about ears and hearing. When Jesus explains to his disciples why he is teaching in parables, because the disciples said, why are you teaching in parables? That's when Jesus said this in verse 13, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see. Oh, and hearing they do not hear. So there's a hearing that is not hearing. Jesus continues, and he pulls from the prophet Isaiah. And this is what he says in verses 14 and 15. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And this is what it says. Hearing you will hear, and you will not understand. It's as if the hearing is bouncing off. Verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. What's that? Their ears are hard of hearing. This means that there are some of those standing there on the seashore who resemble idols. Idols. Yes, they have ears, but they do not hear, is the way idols are described in Psalm 115, verse 6. Our God is in the heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols, they could be made of silver or gold. They're fashioned by men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. The eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. This is when self-idolatry is most evident. You look like you can do something, like speak, or later on smell, because they have noses, but their noses don't work. Those standing on the sand and those of us in our seats are supposed to beware of hearing the word and not hearing the word at the same time. It is interesting to note that as Jesus explains the parable of the sower to his disciples, as he presents the soil-like hearts upon which the seed of the word lands, he mentions that they are all, each one of them, hearing the word. Each one. Take a look at your Bibles, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Oh, look at verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So you can get the picture. In our context, it would be somebody sitting, hearing the word. In that context, it would be somebody standing, hearing the word. Continue on, verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, yeah. Give me more. This is good stuff. Yeah. But hearing. So the wayside, beside the road, hearing. This one in the stony ground, hearing and receiving. Oh, but go on, verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Hears the word. But then, of course, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So it's like this. He hears the word, receives the word, and then he's doing this. Yes. But then, of course, verse 23, but he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, quite a harvest, some 60 and some 30. That's why this sermon is titled Hearing the Word of the Lord. It's possible to take a look at the parable and go, are we missing the parable? Jesus says, hear the parable of the sower. A couple of points. By way of summary, we can see that there's so much Old Testament history, there's present events for Jesus' teaching, and there are present applications today. There was a seed giver throughout history, then, even now, seed giver, a seed distributor, messengers, preachers, the word is present. There were soils, people, hearts, peoples. In these four soils, or these four events where the sower is casting seed, each one of those soils, each one of those peoples, each one of those hearts was hearing on some level. Three of those soils, hearts, peoples, three received the word. Now that sounds pretty good. What are you going to go do? I'm going to go hear the word of the Lord. What else are you going to do? I'm going to receive the word of the Lord. That's even better. But only one of those soils, hearts, peoples bore fruit. Only one of those, something changed for the better. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Our Old Testament reading today, that narrative is gripping. That narrative is gripping in a physical and sensory way. We heard the account. It was the account of Eli and Samuel and the word of the Lord. Eli is an aged priest. He's very old. Samuel is a young man. We also know from that larger narrative that Eli is a very heavy man. He's very large. The Hebrew word is kavod, which means heavy, weighty, glorious. It's the same Hebrew word that's used of glory. That's significant. Eli was a significant man by way of size. Eli is coming to the end of his service. Samuel is a young man dedicated to the Lord and just beginning his service. One man's senses are dull, the young man's senses are intense. The glory in that passage is departing from Israel. The ark will be soon stolen. The ark will be captured, and that is when a little boy is named Ichabod. Ichavod. No glory. The glory has departed. It's as if the Lord has left us. Ichavod. The glory, seemingly in Israel, seems to be entirely upon Eli. It's as if he has consumed the glory. Kavod. It means glory or the glorious. And biblically speaking, the glory or the glorious also refers to light, that which is bright or brilliant. And the narrative is gripping in a physical and a sensory way. The narrative has us in the tabernacle. And the evening is descending. The light, the glory is dimming. The light outside is low. And Eli, the aged and heavy priest, is also losing his eyesight. His light is lowering as well. Eli's eyes are growing dim. The evening is settling in, and both Eli and Samuel were settling down. Then the word of the Lord came. Eli did not hear it. He could not hear it. Samuel heard it, and he thought it was the aged priest calling him. It wasn't. Three times the word came forth. What's going on? What's going on? It was the Lord calling Samuel. It wasn't the aged priest calling Samuel. It was the one who is from everlasting to everlasting calling Samuel. It wasn't Eli marked by kavod calling Samuel. It was the glory and the light of Israel calling Samuel. The light is going down. Eli's eyesight is almost gone. The glory is departing. Eli is large with his own form of the glorious, and the Lord calls. And the Lord calls. And the Lord calls. And again, it's the Lord. And that's when Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." It's not that I didn't hear you the other times. It's now that I hear you and something is going to change. One, in our narrative, in this gripping physical sensory narrative, one had ears to hear. The other had ears that did not hear. We hear the account and we readily see word and responsiveness. We also see word and barrenness. Samuel is lying down, and the word is uttered. He arises and he moves. He hears and he moves. We hear these events. We know that the Lord is speaking. Samuel hears and moves, but Eli cannot hear. He cannot see. And presumably has a very difficult time moving. Samuel, the very name means, oh, and what a lovely mother, Hannah, naming her. The Lord hears, the Lord hears. Or the Lord has heard, my son shall be named Samuel. The Lord hears. The word is given. And in one, he arises. He moves, he is fruitful, there's a change. The word is present, and for the other, there's no movement, no fruit, no change. In the weeks to come, with the Lord's blessing, we will see the importance of Christ's word. We will see something as well of the purpose of the parables. Truly, they are mysteries, and we are supposed to be leaning in, wondering what we might be missing, and if we are truly hearing. The hearing is supposed to result in a certain way of living, in a change of conduct. Our Lord says, "Hear the parable of the sower." If we do not, then these same words will come thundering down in judgment. What about all of the words that we have heard and not heard? What about all of the opportunities given and set aside. The word given and then stolen away. The word given and then scorched through the shallow. Or the word given and then choked out. Yes, it is possible to be surrounded by the proclamation of the word and it not be followed by the practice of the word. It is possible to have houses and within those houses shelves lined with Bibles and not have a life that is filled or marked by the living and active Word of God. It is possible to hear sermons and to have those words just land there on hard ground, just sitting there. And sometimes those who are in such a case are always convinced that it's the sermon's fault. The sermon is bad. They rarely consider their own heart preparation, their heart readiness. It can't be them. They already know the story. It's an old story. We know about this and this and this. It can't be me. It can't be me because I'm able to poke numerous holes in that message. I'm able to poke numerous holes in that sermon because he missed this and he missed that. It's an odd story. What farmer would waste so much, 3/4 of the seed? Not put together the way I would have thought. It is possible to be around the Word of Christ, to hear it even most enthusiastically. It's possible to even receive it for a little while and then to discard it when things don't go your way. I did not sign up for this. It's also possible to be around the Word of Christ and to be divided and distracted. And to not go in for full allegiance. Oh, and this is what it sounds like. Yes, those are very important matters. But I have other very important matters as well. I must attend to such things. As a matter of fact, I will even wrap such things in the Lord's blessing. The Lord will understand why I treat my boss or my employment, or my parents, or my desires, or my passions as more important than the Lord. The Lord will be gracious. It's possible to hear without fruit. It's possible to hear without change. And it's not because of the Word. I'd like to end with these words from J.C. Ryle. Let us not leave these verses without putting to ourselves the important question, how do we hear? We live in a Christian country. We go to a place of worship Sunday after Sunday and hear sermons. In what spirit do we hear them? What effect have they upon our characters? Can we point to anything that deserves the name of fruit? Let us hear the parable of the sower. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.